The Bruins, the NHL. This is the show that's all hockey.
He's gone!
The Sports Hub Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston, Judd Sirai, and Bob Beers on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Welcome in to another edition of the Sports Hub Hockey Show from our Town Fair Tire Studios. Ryan Johnston, joined in studio by Judd Surratt and Bob Beers, as the Bruins get set to take on the Toronto Maple Leafs over at TD Garden tonight. These guys will have the call, of course, back after a 1 week hiatus. We've got a lot to cover here over the last couple of weeks, and not all of it good. Good morning, guys.
Morning. Yeah, good to be back. Not that many good things to talk about right now. It's a struggle right now.
I mean, it's natural, right? I mean, you're down two really important players. Obviously, you've been down even a lot more than that. You're starting to get some guys back into the lineup, but at the same time, you look at the way the team responded after some of those injuries, is it just piling up? Is it just getting too much right now for this team to overcome?
Yeah, yes, it is. I mean, you put a Band-Aid on it for a little while and get through it for a little while, and you commend the guys for the work ethic that they've had for the most part. You know, there's been a couple games here and there. Certainly the Florida one was one that, you shake your head at that one, but the work ethic has been there, and they've competed, and teams sense it now. I mean, especially when you get up against some of the good teams, they sense it. They sense blood. They can go after it. The Bruins hung around for a little while against Tampa, and they did a pretty good job. A couple mistakes in the third period, and the puck ends up at the back of the net, and they walk away with a regulation loss again. So the four out of the five losses, the four losses are all regulation. Say what you will about the the overtime points or the loser points or however you want to put it, but at least you're gaining points. If you can get that game, and they were doing that. They were getting to overtime, and they were winning a couple. They were losing a couple. Everything's been by one goal, except for the Florida game. Most of it's been by one goal, or maybe there's an empty net goal at the end. And they're just in a situation right now. They're just trying to keep their head above water. And you say two important guys. I'll throw a third one in there, Kevin Miller. When he was in the lineup, the whole tenor of the game changed, he's had a hard time staying healthy this year, no question, but he's an important part of that back end. So you take your best forward, your best overall forward out of the lineup, and they already had trouble secondary scoring, and now you're seeing it, and if the goaltending isn't just, playing lights out, and then you got, your team has to compete, your goaltending has to play lights out, and then you hope to continue to put some points together, but it's been a struggle, and they've got to get through it. They were struggling. We talked about their team and their makeup before these injuries, and it was a top-heavy team. So now you take out one of those top-heavy guys, and now you're seeing it. The struggle to score goals is real.
As Bob alluded to, so even with Bergeron in the lineup, I think the Bruins were averaging just a hair below three goals per game, which today in the National Hockey League, as we sit here right now, is right in the middle of the pack. Still hadn't solved that, who's the center that's going to fold in right behind Krejci and Bergeron when healthy? Who is that guy? Who's that guy is going to play along the wing with David Krejci and Jake DeBrusk? And to get back to it, when I start to think about what the Bruins went through last year, all their injuries were virtually up front. Their defense was basically intact. So in a lot of ways, they could still focus on the way they defend, the way they covered the slot, the way they exited the zone. Well, this time it was a little bit different. Now you're starting to get Carlo and McAvoy filtering back in the lineup, but it's been hard for the Bruins to play the style they want to play, especially on their half of the ice.
Well, and not only that, but, Bob, you alluded to the lack of scoring depth on this team, which, we talked about a lot in the early part of the season. You lose Bergeron, one third of that top line that has been providing you with the majority of the scoring. And we've seen the impact that that's had on Pastrnak and Marchand. I mean, Marchand especially. Pasta started to, you know, has started to pop some goals in for you here of late, but you know, Marchand has kind of disappeared off of the score sheet, especially in the last few games.
Scoring wise, he's created scoring chances. You know, Florida game. You know, I'll stay away from that one just because it wasn't a good game for anybody. But he created some good scoring chances for Pastrnak in the game against Tampa. He's not scoring himself,
sure.
You know, but he set up Pastrnak a couple times in the first period. You know, some good play. So I know he made a mistake in the third, but that's the thing of it is teams just they're gearing up for these guys. You know, they're gearing up defensively for these guys. All right, we're gonna stop Marchand and Pastrnak. We're going to get under their skin. We're going to get in their face. We're going to do what we can to stop them. And if the other guys beat us, well, then let them beat us. But, you know, we're going to make sure that these two guys don't beat us. And Jake DeBrusk got hot there for a while, and Krejci, you know, has done his thing, what he normally does in terms of moving the puck around and creating chances. It was good to see him get on the score sheet and finally get rewarded for one because he's hit a lot of posts this year. DeBrusk got a little bit cold here recently, but he's been around the net. He had a couple good opportunities against Tampa. His work ethic is still there, but the teams they're loading up. All right, we're going to stop these two guys. And if we stop these two guys, you know, we like our chances. So it becomes even more difficult for those guys to really push through.
And in the big picture, the Bruins got so many great contributions from so many first-year players last year. And some of those guys have had a hard time finding the sheet. And while Danton Heinen is a trustworthy player for Bruce Cassidy, he's gone scoreless, I want to say, in the last 11 games. Like, no goals, no assists. Jake DeBrusk, as Bob alluded to, I think he's gone quiet here, scoreless in the last five. Sean Corrali in that line, those guys each chipped in double-digit goal totals for you last year. That line, while it's been productive and it's been a reliable line for you to throw out, it hasn't been able to chip things in the way it has last year.
Well, and I think that was, look, coming into the season, you hope that those guys were all going to continue to take a step forward, right? Some of the guys that you're talking about there, and they all seem to get off to slow starts.
Well, but that's, you know, and that's the thing that happens with young players, that there can be peaks and valleys. But I think back to the conversation that Bob and I had on opening day at TD Garden with Cam Neely. What was his biggest key for the season? Health. The Bruins needed health. That last year, and even Don Sweeney had mentioned it to us last year, that the Bruins had a core that could insulate a lot of those young players. Well, a lot of those core players have been hurt here in the first half of the season. So you haven't had that type of insulation.
All right, let's get to some of your calls this morning. 617-779-0985, of course, is the number. We'll open things up with Maria in Watertown. Good morning, Maria.
Hi, good morning, guys. I'm not panicked yet, but I am starting to become worried about the direction the team is going in. The fact that, you know, with Patrice Bergeron being out of the lineup, and he is still listed as one of the top scorers on this team, is very, very troubling. And while I appreciate Bruce Cassidy's efforts to move guys around and try different things, they're still the same guys. And the fact remains is they can't score. And at what point do you take a long, hard look at trying to consider making a change that doesn't involve just moving guys around? Just wanted to hear your thoughts about that. And just quickly, with regard to the incident that happened with Tom Wilson, while I don't condone anyone intentionally trying to hurt a player ever, however, when you introduce a predatory aspect to your game, and you've been a predator time and time again, at some point it's going to come back at you. And, you know, I think, you know, Ryan Reeves was trying to send a message. Maybe he didn't do it in an appropriate manner, but I think it was a message that needed to be sent to Mr. Wilson. And that's all I have to say about that. And I hope you guys have a great day. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate the call, Maria. And I would assume we'll get a decent amount of that this morning in talking about how, you know, when you look at this roster, and I know there was I read an article in the Globe this week about Cam Neely talking about, you know, whether
they need to think about pulling the trigger on, you know, a significant move to try to get some help in here. And, you know, he's not ready to push the panic button yet either. I know it's a difficult thing to deal with when you're down such important players. And you say, well, look, if we're 100% healthy, this is a much different team. If we're, you know, if we've got Chara in the lineup, if we've got Bergeron in the lineup, if McAvoy has played, you know, more this season, you know, he's finally hopefully healthy and will be able to contribute for you. If you've got these guys, and Kevin Miller is another one you mentioned, he's had trouble staying on the ice, and that's a big loss. You know, if you have these guys on the ice, this is a much different team. It's a much different season. But I think you can also point at this and say, yeah, but some of these young guys aren't performing to the level that we hoped they would. We may need to go outside the organization and find some help here sooner rather than later.
They haven't gotten the production. I mean, it's simple. I mean, I like their defense if everybody's healthy. I like their goaltending. You know, the goaltending's been good.
Yeah.
I mean, especially since Rask has, had come back from whatever that was, the 3-day layoff there. I mean, it's been outstanding. And for the most part, they've given him a chance to win just about every night. So you like that part. You like the team defense. It wasn't that long ago they were number one defensive team in the league, mostly because of the goaltending and some of the huge saves that they had come up with. But offensively right now, Bergeron's the only forward missing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you get the defenseman who can get the puck up to them. That's an add. You know, whether it's Carlo, or certainly McAvoy and even Kevin Miller and Chara, you know, those guys are able to get the puck up to them. Now, that is big. But the forwards right now, the younger guys, I think, has really let them down here. And some of the, you know, whether it's third or fourth line, it's just been a revolving door. And especially the third line and what that's looked like all season long. You know, can Donato do it? Can Heinen do it? Can Bjork do it? None of these guys have been able to do it this year. And that's why, you know, Donato spends time in the American Hockey League. That's why Bjork's down there right now to try to find your game. Donato had a shift the other night in the third period. I think it was with the goalie pulled. Like, that was a shift. He won a battle on one wall. He won a battle on the other wall to keep a puck alive. That's what they want from him. And then goals will come, you know, the game will come. He'll score, but that's what they want from him when the puck's not on a stick in a scoring situation. And that was a good shift by him with the goaltender pulled. I mean, that's the type of game that you want to see. And that's what you want to see from all of them. You see that from those guys, then things start to roll offensively for you.
All right, we'll get to more of your calls coming up. 617-779-0985. It is a Saturday morning on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Get in on the discussion. 617-779-0985. The Sports Hub Hockey Show. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers here in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Let's keep going with your calls here early on in the show today. We got Mark in the car up next. Hey, Mark.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
You there?
Yeah.
I've got a couple of things, if you just bear with me. You mentioned Ryan Donato. Yeah, he won a couple of battles on the boards against Tampa the other night, but most of the time, guys, when he has the puck, you blow on him, then it gets off right off the puck. I mean, the same thing happened with Pastrnak a couple of years ago. He went to the gym, put on about 10, 15 pounds. Donato's going to do the same thing. He's just going to get beat up in this league. And as far as the draft goes, I mean, you got Zboril, Zanishin, DeBrusk, they hit on one. And then Zboril and DeBrusk have been in Providence now for 3 years. If they haven't come up yet, you consider that a bust draft?
I appreciate the call, Mark. I mean, thoughts on Donato, and then, you know, again, obviously with some of the young guys who have been here underperforming, you wonder what else is in the pipeline, and, not seeing any help coming right now.
For Donato, yeah. I mean, I think I said it. He won those battles. That's what he has to do, but he's got to, he's got to do it more often, and you know, and that's just what they've been preaching with him. And it's not just that; it's a couple of other things in his game that need to be better, and whether it's strength and or whether it's the will to do it, you know, that those are, you know, those kind of go hand in hand sometimes. But this is what he's got to work on. These are some of the things he's got to work on. They're working with him. He's got a good attitude, so you know, you hope that continues to progress for him. You know, as far as that draft, the first round, you know. Yeah, it's looking like it. Sure. I mean, say it for what it is. I mean, I'm not giving up on those guys yet. But yeah, it's looking like it. When you see other guys making huge contributions around the league, it's hard to pick 18-year-olds, right? It's hard to make that pick and hard to say that this guy's going to, you know, he's going to take off. But when you see, I mean, the names are endless, right? I mean, Thomas Chabot's leading all defensemen in scoring in the NHL right now. He was Zboril's teammate. Now, Zboril was ranked ahead of him at the draft. He was ranked ahead of him. When you just look at Central Scouting or whatever, sure. I mean, he was the next defenseman on the list. But it's Chabot who's taken off and been that guy. How do you predict that? I don't know. I mean, I don't watch the younger guys enough. I don't do the scouting. But that's, you know, when you see Barzal and you see Besser and you see Kyle Connor and you see Colin White. You know, all these guys were taken after Senishin and Zboril. And yeah, DeBrusque's hit. He's been good. He's been good for them. So yeah, if you look at it that way. Now the second round, they did pretty well. You know, you got Forsbacker Carlson who's playing for them right now. You got Brandon Carlo who's playing for them right now. And Lozon, who looks like, you know, he might be a guy just with a little more seasoning that can play in the NHL on a regular basis. That's pretty good second round. Three guys picked in that round. They should get credit for some of the picks that they've made in the past, you know, whether it's David Pastrnak, whether it's Charlie McAvoy, you know, guys like that, where they picked them. But on those two guys, so far, they've completely missed. And a lot of that's on the player, and you know, maybe some of it's on the scouting.
Well, it's not an exact science, as you said. And I think the frustration comes from, a lot of it comes from the fact that people expected that they were going to be able to package that and move up into the draft and grab a, you know, a guy who was more of a sure thing, and it surprised a lot of people when they took those picks, bang, bang, bang.
The three defensemen that were taken ahead of Zboril were Werenski, in no particular order, Werenski, Provorov, and Hanifin. And those three were elite,
sure.
Figured to be elite defensemen. Zboril was the next guy ranked, you know, so they took him, and, you know, unfortunately it's Chabot who's popped, and he's just been outstanding for Ottawa so far this year. So it is. I mean, you can't look at it any other way. I mean, but then you go back other years, and they've done well with that pick or those picks. But yeah, there was a big expectation. I remember I hosted a draft party that night, and everybody, you know. Okay, there's been a trade. You know, they announced it. It's not the Bruins. You know? Everybody was waiting for something to happen.
Yeah, I don't think any of us expected they were just going to use all three of those picks, and there wouldn't be any fireworks, for lack of a better term. John in Chelmsford, you're up next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and The Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. My thing is about David Backes here. I know the Bruins are down at center. Why don't they just bring this guy up and have him play center on either the first or second line? Yeah, I know he didn't play well in the beginning, but this guy is a top six forward all his career. Get paid top six money. Put him there. See what he does. They need muscle as it is on their top lines. They're pretty much soft. And if it doesn't work out, maybe like trade him to Edmonton for Lucic to get some muscle. Their contracts are pretty even. Therefore, he gets reunited with his old coach, Ken Hitchcock.
All right, John. You definitely lost me on the Lucic thing.
All right, well, here, Lucic.
This comes up a lot.
All right, just one goal, 6 points, 29 games, massive contract, long-term deal at this point.
This is not the guy that you remember.
Okay, and this is a team that last night Edmonton bombed the Minnesota Wild.
He had one goal in his last 40-something games last year.
Right. Yeah. But with David Backes, the last 2 weeks since he...
And he has an extra year in his contract, by the way. Oh. He has one more year than Backes does.
Yes. Yeah. But Backes here in the last 2 weeks has probably played his best hockey. The Bruins did try him at center, but I think the coaching staff felt he was more effective on the wing. Could we see a little bit more of David Backes based on the way he's playing? Sure. I don't know if that's necessarily down the back.
I thought he had one of his better games against Tampa the other day.
I thought he was great.
Yeah, he did. I mean, you know, he's starting to show that. I mean, I don't think you ever see the guy that I hope we do, but I don't think you ever see the guy that they thought, you know, and that put up the good numbers in St. Louis for a number of years. But he's had a lot more life in his step here recently.
And that was actually part of the discussion heading into the season. Where does David Backes fit? And who do you play him with to get the best out of him? That was a conversation we were having at the start of the season before all these injuries happened.
I just think I think playing the center role, his foot speed isn't where it needs to be. And to get there and to be effective in the middle, in all the center has to do. So, you know, put him on the wing and see if he could be more effective there. And I think he has been here recently.
Well, I understand the frustration when you look at the lineups the other night and you see, and again, nothing against Colby Cave, but, you know, if you've got, you know, Colby Cave centering Pastrnak and Marchand to start that game, it's like, you know, obviously your depth has been tested at the center position and you're scrambling trying to find something that works. But I understand why you would look at it and say, maybe you need somebody with a little bit more experience than that in that spot. If you're going to keep Pastrnak and Marchand together, you don't expect them to be.
Krejci play with that line sometimes too in that game. You know, looking for some offense. You know, they put those guys together at times, and you know, Bruce Cassidy's done that from time to time as this thing has gone on. So it hasn't been just, you know, just roll out four lines. I mean, he's you know, tinkered with things from game to game and within game, certainly.
All right, we'll get to more of your calls coming up. And then Billy Jaffe, of course, is also going to join us coming up next. We'll talk about some of the things going on around the NHL with him. 617-779-0985. It's the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Sports Hub headlines.
Both the Bruins and the Celtics are in action tonight. For the Bruins, they'll be at home taking on a Toronto team. The Maple Leafs, they are the Toronto team, the only one. The two of them are going to play tonight in the Garden. The Bees will go into this one having lost three in a row. And in that time, all of them in regulation. It's the first time that's happened since March of 2017. They scored only four goals across those three losses. Faceoff set for 7 o'clock with pregame coverage here on the Hub beginning at 6:30. The Celtics in Chicago, they'll take on the Bulls. For the Bulls, it'll be the second night of a back-to-back that comes after snapping a 7-game losing streak with a edgy win over Oklahoma City, 114-112 the final there, whereas the last time the Green played, it was a 128-100 blowout over the Knicks on Thursday night. Aaron Baines got hurt in that game, unlikely to play tonight. Tip-off set for 8 o'clock. Pre-game coverage over on 105.7 WROR. Bat begins at 7:30, and it'll be the Patriots and Dolphins tomorrow afternoon down in Miami. New England, with a win, will wrap up their 10th consecutive division title. They already have an NFL record at 9-3 is their record of this season. They beat Miami in week four, a close one there, 38-7 the final. Kickoff tomorrow, Miami is at 1 o'clock with pregame coverage beginning here in the Hub at 10 a.m. The update is being brought to you by Santander Bank, where respect adds up. I'm Marshall Hook on Boston's home for sports, 98.5. The Sports Hub, your next update in about 30 minutes.
Press the right pants in. Let's go!
The Sports Hub Hockey Show on 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub Hockey Show coming up in about 15 minutes. We're going to give you a chance to win some tickets to go see the Bruins and the Arizona Coyotes at the Garden this week. Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers, now joined in studio by Billy Jaffe. You know him, you love him, from Nesson Broadcasts. What's going on, Billy?
Good morning. Good to see you guys.
Bright and early this morning.
Oh, I've been up for a while. Yeah. Another game day on many fronts. A little Junior Eagle action coming up, and then a big Boston Bruins Toronto Maple Leafs tonight.
It's going to be an interesting one tonight.
Oh my God.
The schedule makers have not helped the Bruins.
Well, especially because, you know, it's not just the Bees, but the Maple Leafs may have had one of their worst games of the year the other night. in playing against Detroit. They were awful. And they still got a point out of it. They came back from a couple down and they still got a point. But they were awful. Like, watching the highlights, they were playing Ole defense for a while. Team defense. Now, that isn't their strong suit. But, you know, they get Nylander back. He doesn't play in the third period. He doesn't play in overtime, basically. Matthews finds a way to shine still, even in his averageness. So I'm just hoping that the Maple Leafs didn't get their real crappy game out of the way on Thursday, and now they're fired up for tonight, which they're going to be. And by the way, they're playing Freddie, I don't lose to the Boston Bruins, Anderson, except once, or I guess the playoffs. You
I was going
to
say, in the regular season.
Playoffs, right, in the regular. Right. Well, hey, that's where we are right now. What is he, 11? Is he 11 or 12-1 against the Bruins in the regular season? Something crazy. Yeah.
Lots going on around the league to talk about this week.
Seattle, hello.
Seattle, whatever they are, is has been made official. They will be joining the league in 2021.
Yep.
It seems like this is being set up with the amount of money that they're paying to get in. They'll set this thing up just like they did Vegas and give them a chance to get some half-decent players in there and try and compete, as opposed to the old way of expansion where you're going to suffer for a few years.
Yeah, the rules are the same with regard to the expansion draft, except for the fact that the $500 million, which seems paltry compared to $650 that Vegas spent, allows them to not have to participate in the expansion draft. They don't have to worry about losing players. I do think the biggest caveat to all this...
And they don't get any money from the $650 either.
That's true. That's true, right.
I don't know which one's more important.
Depends on who you are, if you're the GM or the
Bill
owner.
I think Foley's okay with his billions. I think the caveat to all this is that the general managers learned... I think they learned an awful lot. As many of them got fleeced by Vegas, some of them played right to Vegas. And
see Chuck Fletcher in Philadelphia.
Well, he was in Mini then, yeah. Right. So
he got hammered by that.
He got hammered. So now do people see GMs? How much did they learn from that? And how much more difficult does that make that for the Seattle, whatever their calls going to be called, when it's all said and done? See, to me, that's the biggest thing out of this is that, yes, it's the same rules. You can only cover, what is it, 8-3 or 7-4-1 or 8-3. I don't remember the exact numbers, regardless of it. I think GMs are going to, a few of them are going to brighten up and not panic as much and figure out ways to protect more than give away like a lot of them did.
Well, and they've got 3 years to prepare for this now, too,
yes.
Right? So they've, you know, as they start doing contracts going forward and figuring out who's going to stay and who's going to go, they can, because we saw it against Vegas, teams start to kind of structure around who they're going to protect in that
right.
draft.
Yeah, and the biggest thing, obviously, is just like you guys were talking about when I was coming in here and about players, you know, young guys. You have to look to the future. That's where your scouts have to be great, and they got to say, this guy's got the most upside, and be right on more of them than not right.
All right, let's talk about a few players, because we've already had our first calls of the morning asking about, you know, can the Bruins swing a deal and things like that. Who might be out there?
Well,
I want to ask you about a couple of things in particular. Number one is that we've seen a change in management for the Flyers. Ron Hextall got fired. Fletcher takes over there. Wayne Simmonds is always a guy that has been coveted by Bruins fans.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's...
He's in the last year of his deal, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember what he's making. 3-something, I believe. For whatever the money, I think is irrelevant, but I don't think it's exorbitant. You're asking if they can get him?
Are they? I mean, are the Flyers going to be open for business here, or are they thinking that they can get back into this?
Yeah,
thing
well,
this
if
year?
You believe management, but then again, the Chicago Blackhawks management said the same thing, and management to me in Chicago is smoking something funny. They think that their team can make the playoffs. Yeah, I think they're open for business. Should be open for business a lot more. Well, quicker than Philly. Philly has a few tantalizing players there, one being Wayne Simmonds, another being Jake Voracek. I'm not convinced he's 100%. I think they'd move him. I don't think this Giroux Voracek is working as much as they'd like it to, so I think they'd move it. But again, he's got a heavier hit to move. They're okay. Here's your obvious statement for the morning. Philly's goaltending sucks. Okay, we've known that for years. They need to address that. Can they really address it via trade? And how willing is Fletcher? you know, who, by the way, gets the job, because interesting enough, I guess his dad and Bobby Clark are dear friends. So, you know, there's a nice connection right there. And I like Chuck. I do. I like him. But Minnesota didn't really do a ton with him when he was there. Are they open for business? Sure. I mean, but Comcast wants to sell tickets. That's what it comes down to. They want to sell tickets. They want to make some money. And I still think they want to try and get into the playoffs. I don't think they're near good enough to get in, but that might mean they hold on to their players longer, you know, than make a move. I mean, Wayne Simmons, does he fit here? Yeah, but it's a question. What do you give up? I mean, how much you have to give up for a guy that there's a good chance you lose after this year?
Well, he's going to be
coveted. A lot less than Voracek.
Well, but Voracek you keep longer.
No, I understand that. Yeah. That's my point, though. But so you're giving up a lot less is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to get Simmons than to get Voracek.
Yeah. I mean, do they hold out for a first-rounder for a guy like Simmons?
They'll try.
Absolutely. With all the teams that are in it. I mean, if you look around the National Hockey League, and since you mentioned the Blackhawks and the Flyers, and maybe, you know, they're under this fantasy that they can somehow still compete for a playoff spot, then maybe there's going to be a lot of other teams out there, because there are very few pure sellers at this point, because we haven't even hit the halfway point of the season, then the market is going to be very high. So if I'm Chuck Fletcher, he had better be asking for at least a first-round pick. I think the hardest thing, whether it's Philadelphia, Chicago, Boston, you name, you know, for most of the bigger market teams, is how patient can you be with the team that you have? Comcast, they lost patience.
Yeah.
Philadelphia should be better than they are.
Yeah.
There's no question they should be better than they are at this point.
Should they? Goaltending?
I think they should be on
that
the cusp.
Defense that's had
what's happened to Provorov? Sorry to take
away. He's been bad. Carter Hart is not here, but you know, should they be, you know, instead of at the very bottom of the Eastern Conference, should they be competing for a wild card spot? I don't think they should make the playoffs with that team.
I mean,
agree with you.
Who
there.
Do they have up front? You've got we are Giroux, Voracek, Couturier,
James Van Riemsdyk, Wayne Simmons.
He was hurt for a while. Right. He's finally back now.
Yes.
Forward wise, they should be better, but defensively and goaltending wise?
And that was the issue. But I think the question was, you can't be at the bottom of the pack in the Eastern Conference. Should you be competing for a wild card spot? Maybe. I don't think they're a playoff team.
Who are they better than in the Metro Division?
I think they're
New Jersey, okay, because New Jersey struggled this year. But who else are they better than?
I think they're better than the Islanders.
You can make the argument they should be better than the Islanders, but maybe they're in the same boat as them.
Fine, same as the Islanders, same as Carolina. Carolina's in a playoff spot right now. You know, is their goaltending great? You like Curtis McElhinney?
No, I like the defense.
I like the defense, too. You know, and they've got some pretty talented forwards. It'll be interesting if they get paid.
By the way,
Aho, you know, and some of the other guys. Teravainen and Ferland. Yeah. Ferland's going to get paid. He's an unrestricted.
Ferland's
going
to be. Now, Ferland's a guy that if I'm the Bruins, I look to. I do. I look to him. He's had inconsistent. He had some off-ice stuff earlier in his career, but now I'd look to a guy like that, and how much is he going to? He's going to ask for bank, as he should, right? I mean, he's in his prime.
They just traded for him, or he was part of the trade.
But their owner there doesn't want to spend the money. He doesn't want to spend the money, honey. He doesn't just want to do it. I'm telling you.
Of the three guys that we talked about.
Why were they in on the William Nylander deal?
Well, we think they
were. That was all window dressing, yeah.
By the way, one of the reasons that Ron Hextall told also was let go, and I'm sure you guys have seen this too, in Philly, when talking to people, is how he micromanaged everything, and he closed the wall, so to speak, on himself. And he didn't allow others to do their job. And I think besides the team not playing well, it wasn't also a great feel in the front office right there. Ron, I think, is a very smart hockey guy. I do. But, you know, a lot of it has to go with how you handle people. Not just players, people around there, and they wanted a different atmosphere in there. Look, Dave Hackstall's a lame duck. He is. He's a lame duck whenever the new GM comes in. We know that. By the way, another team, just to jump on, is Minnesota. They're now starting to swoon a little bit, more than a little, in fact, and guys haven't looked good there. The game that always comes up out of Minnie's Charlie Coyle, and by the way, you also hear that Nino Niederreiter could be available. Paul Fenton, the new general manager there, looking at this team who hasn't done well the last week or two weeks, and they were one of the best defensive teams. It sounds an awful lot like the Bruins, one of the better defensive teams. They're winning a lot, and now their last couple have been ugly there. And this is a team, it's a vanilla team, and Mikko Koivu could be out of the lineup for a significant time. He hurt his knee the other night on a hit by Mark Giordano. He got suspended for 2 games for kneeing. Koivu, Paul Fenton wouldn't give an update specifically because he says, I don't have one yet. We should know more, meaning this weekend. Obviously, if you're a Wild fan, you're hoping Koivu isn't out for an extended period of time. I'm not going to say he is Patrice Bergeron, but to them, he is their version of Patrice Bergeron.
Billy Jaffe joining us in studio. We will continue with him. We'll have a chance for you to win some Bruins tickets coming up, and we'll talk about Phil the Thrill. Could be they're at least testing the waters on moving our old friend Phil Kessel out of Pittsburgh. We'll get to that coming up next. It's the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Stick around.
You're listening to the Sports Hub Hockey Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Stop and Shop, official supermarket of the New England Patriots, provides great food for great fans. Nachos are a perfect game-time snack. Load them up with Stop and Shop shredded cheese. 8-ounce bags are 2 for $4. See all the great deals at stopandshop.com.
Interstate Batteries wants you to recharge your batteries with an all-inclusive Aruba vacation. Enter to win a week-long trip for two to the Tamarind Aruba all-inclusive and a $1,000 Visa gift card to cover your airfare. Everything is included at the Tamarind Aruba, from drinks and dining to sunsets over the ocean. And with locations in Milford, Auburn, Walpole, and Waltham, plus hundreds of local dealers, Interstate is here to keep you powered up. So do you need to recharge your batteries? Enter now at 98.5thesportshub.com, and you could be Aruba bound. Good luck from Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.
At MinuteClinic, we treat all sorts of things.
Why does my throat hurt?
What's going on with my stomach?
Do I need medicine?
Things like minor illnesses, injuries, and infections.
It's heartburn. Or indigestion? Wait, is that the same thing?
Is this a rash? Is it allergies?
MinuteClinic. It's care that fits your schedule with no appointment needed. Visit MinuteClinic.com for information.
Remember the Pepsi challenge? Two sodas on the table in a blind taste test, which tastes better? Boy, that was a great idea. But in advertising, you're not allowed to steal great ideas. So we'll borrow it. We're Right Window. Take the Right Window Challenge. Line up Right Window head-to-head with that big replacement window company. Compare the quality of our window, the insulation ratings, the warranties. Not only do we stand up to the challenge, when you finally take a sip of their price. Go ahead. Oh, gee, here's a napkin. We win. If you're replacing your windows, take the Right Window Challenge. A great window, a better tasting price.
Call Right Window.
Schedule an appointment to have your windows measured. Call 800-649-3600. 800-649-3600. A better window, professionally installed for the right price. Right Window.
Okay, everyone. Time to see 2020 and 2019. And save big time by putting money in your Medical Flex account today for LASIK. You can save up to 35%. Also, if you have money left in your Flex account and need to use it by the end of the year, Boston Laser accepts all Flex spending accounts. Book your free LASIK evaluation at bostonlaser.com today. That's bostonlaser.com. Enjoy interest-free financing and $1,000 off by signing up for their patient loyalty program. Boston Laser. Locations in Brookline, Medford, Wellesley, and the Merrimack Valley. If it's LASIK, it's Boston Laser.
Party jumping until the morning, feeling free, free, free.
When you sail with Norwegian Cruise Line, you're free. Free to vacay your way, to win on the only racetracks at sea, or lose yourself in virtual reality. Challenge yourself on the plank, or treat yourself to a Broadway show. You're free to explore the world by sea and wake up in a new city every morning. You can glacier hop in Alaska or country hop through Europe. Cruise into history in Havana, Cuba, or sunbathe in the Caribbean, with or without that giant coconut drink. You're free to choose. Best of all, book now and choose up to 6 free offers, like free unlimited open bar, free airfare, and more. We call it free at sea, which is exactly how it feels. So visit NCL.com, call your travel professional, or call 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line. Feel free. Ships registry Bahamas and USA. Restrictions apply.
Misha Mitsubishi in Danvers is having our December sales event. 7-passenger all-wheel drive Outlanders, only $21,900 or $179 per month. There's no risk. 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty, ranked number one in safety. Thousands less than the competition. MishaMitsubishi.com.
Here's what's brewing. Fueled by Dunkin' Donuts. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
T-Mobile is giving you a chance to celebrate your 2018 World Champions. It's a baseball bash complete with a chance to win MLB Shop gift cards, appearances by Wally, and a chance to get a pic taken with a trophy. But you gotta hurry. The trophy is only at the South Bay T-Mobile store from 12 till 1 today. T-Mobile, built for baseball. No purchase necessary. Ages 18 or older. Void where prohibited. Official licensee of Major League Baseball and the Major League Baseball Players Association.
Town Fair Tire sells every name brand tire at the guaranteed lowest price, and Town Fair gives you more free services than any other tire dealer. Nobody beats a Town Fair Tire deal. Nobody.
This hour of the Hockey Show being brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Visit now for a 15-minute oil change. You can stay in your car and no appointment is ever needed.
Splitsville at Patriot Place begins at 10. Bob and Zoe have the call of the game at 1 on the Safety Insurance. 98.5, the Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network. The Pats, the Dolphins, on the home of the game. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is where Boston talks hockey. The Sports Hub Hockey Show on the home of the Bees. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers, Billy Jaffe from Nesson joining us in studio as he does each week. And right now, we're going to take caller number 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985. You'll score a pair of tickets to see the Bruins take on the Arizona Coyotes this Tuesday night. Select tickets are still available at Ticketmaster.com/Bruins. But caller number 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. Right now, we'll get a free pair of tickets from us. All right, Billy. News this week that Phil Kessel is potentially available. The Penguins are testing the waters on a number of different things. Mm-hmm. We know Jimmy Rutherford is not one to to waste his time or to bide time.
No, not at all.
If he doesn't feel like things are perfect, and obviously things have not been perfect this year in Pittsburgh, but do you think this is really in play, the possibility of moving one of their top offensive weapons?
Not yet. No. Would I ever put anything past Jimmy? No, either. I won't. He just signed a new 3-year contract extension on the same day he did 2 weeks ago. He announced the Carl Hagelin trade. Pretty strong move by Jimmy. I think that if Pittsburgh wallows or swoons more, I mean, they're right outside a playoff spot right now. Their goaltending has been in flux. Matt Murray has not been great when he's played, and he's been injured. And so you've got Casey DeSmith and Tristan Jarry playing for them at times. And they like DeSmith, but my point is I still think it's kind of an incomplete team. I fully admit I thought this team would be better than they are. I fully admit that. They still get there, sure. Jimmy, I you take him away, Kessel that is, and you take, even though he can be quite the enigma, you take away a pretty lethal player when he's on. It gives you a different look from the side. Who becomes your big wingers then? Patrick Hornquist? I know he's scoring, but he's a whole different type of style than that.
I just wonder in retrospect if Jimmy Rutherford and every GM goes through this, but I really think they miss Ian Cole. We saw Ian Cole out in Colorado, and he was a difference maker. And I think he was obviously a difference maker for the Pittsburgh Penguins. And I think that they missed that presence on the back end. Jack Johnson is not that.
No, he never was that type of player. That was a curious deal, 5 years for him. I know that limited or dropped the term or the value of the contract, the yearly AAV, but that was interesting. I think they thought that with Jack Johnson and Sidney Crosby being old best buddies and teammates and everything, maybe that could help get him. But I agree about the physical elements. See, Judd, to me, that could be an element that they trade for. He's looked at guys like that around deadline time. I could see an element like that being added. With regard to Phil Kessel, the thrill, Phil the Thrill, could bring back something interesting. It wouldn't bring back, I don't know. Like, I don't think it would be a mega trade, but it would be a big trade.
Well, it's hard because Phil,
a certain team he needs to go to, a certain player.
Right. You need a certain team with a certain coaching staff, because you ask Phil, I remember a shift that he had where, he fumbled a puck, and almost it was a goal against. And then at the other end, he almost scores. It's like, okay, what do you say as a coach on the bench to Phil? And I think I talked to some of the Pittsburgh people about that when they were here in town. They said, you don't say anything to Phil. You just don't.
You let him
kind of let him be.
Yeah, you let him be. And Sully can handle that there.
Right, but how many of those situations are out there? Now, granted, there are going to be some teams that are desperate for scoring out there that decide, you know what, this is our answer. We need a guy like Phil Kessel, but it's going to take the right team and the right situation,
the right center,
to pull the trigger on that, and get a player back.
One more thing before we let you go, because we talked about it a lot leading up to it. The Maple Leafs able to get Nylander just under the wire.
Yeah.
It works out in the 11th hour. You've been selling us all season long, as we talk every time I ask you. It's going to be probably in the neighborhood of what Pasternak gets.
Six or
that's what
they're,
that's what the target should be.
Yep.
That's what the target ended up being. So what took so long?
I don't know. Michael Nylander, his dad, wanting more. It depends who you talk to. Supposedly, this 6.69 wasn't, or 6.9 wasn't on the table the whole time. Okay. Maybe it wasn't on the table because maybe the Leafs were doing 6 to 6.5, and the Nylander camp was saying 7.5 to 8 million a year. And then finally, it worked out. By the way, I can't get into the whole cap thing. I know we're done here, but this actually works out pretty well for Toronto, really well. You keep a guy out, you're not paying him as much for a while. It does something if you're into the number end of it. We should get Evan Gold to discuss it right here from the Bruins capologist, where it actually helps the Leafs out this year. It gets a higher AAV, but the cash is still, it's lower, and then it averages out to 6.9, which is what the Leafs wanted all along. Keep an eye on how other teams now handle their RFAs coming up, and this time under this CBA, which we have at least one, if not 2 years left under. But yeah, he comes in. He gets his deal. He says he wanted to be there all along. Well, if that's the case, then why didn't you and your camp just get it done all along? A bridge deal, I think, would work best. He has huge signing bonuses. Huge. And he's going to get hammered on those, by the way, by Canadian taxes. That's just the way of the world. He's going to. And here's the other thing. Let's say he hardly plays power play the last couple of years. So, right, he scores 61 points, I believe, a year. Let's say all of a sudden he's scoring 80 points a year. Has he undervalued himself? I mean, ideally, it's easy to sit in this chair and say, I would have taken a 3-year bridge deal and then gotten myself there. I just don't know. Maybe the Leafs wouldn't have offered him a 3-year bridge deal. If I'm Nylander, I would have said, hey, I'll do that. I'll score 70 plus points and I'll make $9 million a year when I'm done with the deal.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's, 22? So, he'll be 28 at the end of the contract, 28, 29. So he'll be in that kind of sweet spot where you're going to be able to get
To struggle at 6.9
another big deal.
He'll be okay.
Yeah.
He'll be okay, even though Toronto's real estate is expensive.
Nesson carrying the game tonight,
yes,
obviously.
6 o'clock pregame.
6 o'clock. You get the full hour
full
through
hour.
The breakaway.
No breakaway night.
No
just
breakaway?
Full hour show.
Breakaway here. Tomorrow, though, right?
I don't know.
I think I saw that
I
on the promo
up.
The other
I put on a tie and I show up.
All right. Billy Jaffe.
See you tonight, guys.
You can see him as part of the Nesson broadcast tonight starting at 6 o'clock. Obviously, Judd and Bob will have the radio call of that. We will continue to get you ready for that and talk about what's been going on with the Bruins for another hour. And your call's next, 617-779-0985.
This is the Sports Hub Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston, Judd Sirai, and Bob Beers on the home of the Bees, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number two here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers here in our Town Fair Tire Studios. 617-779-0985. as the Bruins get set to host the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight over at TD Garden. Another tough test for this team. As we got into, a lot of, the issues that obviously the team is dealing with, injuries and whatnot, but didn't really talk much about the games this week, which from the sake of the Florida game is, I think, just fine for everyone. And that's one of those to maybe burn the tape of that one and move on. But they came out in Tampa the other night against a very good team, and they hung in. You know, it's like we're not looking for moral victories at this point. I don't think it's fallen to that level. But coming off of that Florida game, I think a lot of us looked at this and said, well, okay, how are you going to react to what was a pretty terrible performance? And, Bruce Cassidy saying after the game, it looked like men versus boys out there, and, obviously not pleased with the level of fight in that team. They came out and they competed against one of the best teams in the league the other night and really hung in that game. And that at least gives me some hope that, okay, there is fight in this group, right? It would be easy to feel sorry for yourself right now in the situation that they're in. And yet we saw it the other night, and really, you kind of hope to see that again tonight, like home ice against a really good team who's going to come in here hungry. As Billy said, they had, not a good performance, perhaps their worst performance of the year the other night. So, what do we see out of them this evening? And I want to just continue to see the effort, especially from those young guys who have gone through some struggles this year and need to find their game, need to find their way, are still trying to find their way in the NHL and are trying to dig out of this hole that they've found themselves in now.
It's not just the young guys. For the first 40 minutes in Tampa Bay, the Bruins, there was a lot to like about what you saw from the Boston Bruins in those first two periods. And you got to also remember, Louis Domingue made a couple of key saves, one on a tip that Jacob Forsbacka Carlson had in the slot, another on a breakaway attempt from David Pastrnak, who nearly notched another multi-goal game. And Bob and I have talked about this. There's a formula with the way that the Bruins are currently constituted. With the lineup that they're icing, they have to play to the formula. They got away from the formula for maybe about 90 seconds early in that third period, and it cost them against the Tampa Bay Lightning. But there was a lot to like about the way that they broke out the puck, about the power play attempt that they did have early in the game, the puck support that they have. But it's being able to manufacture that across 60 minutes. And as Bruce Cassidy alluded to, it's got to come from up and down the roster, not just the young guys.
Yeah. And you can also go back to they should be working hard. They should be committed, right? That's their job. You expect that. You expect that effort every night, and even more so now without the guys in the lineup. And then they got a taste of when they don't have that commitment to what's going to happen, and that was the Florida game. So, yeah, that they've by and large, they've had that commitment. They've had that work ethic. It's been there, and they got away from it against the Panthers. But that's what they're supposed to do. You're supposed to do that night in and night out. And, I think that they've got some pretty good leadership in that room that's not going to let them slip and not going to let them, use as an excuse all the injuries. They have to go out. They've got to compete. They've got to find a way through it. And they got to dig deep in order to do it. I mean, that's, but the formula was there, it's not going to be pretty, and it's probably not going to be high scoring. So how are we going to get this job done? And that's the way that they have to approach it right now.
When you talked earlier about, needing the goaltending to be good, and for the most part, it has been.
Yeah.
Like they're getting a chance to win on a nightly basis, but they've got to figure out how to put up at least a few goals a night if they're going to win on any sort of consistent basis.
Yeah, and Halak wasn't at his best against Florida, but the team...
It didn't matter.
He held him in there in the first period. Yeah. It was scoreless after the first period, and Florida could have had a couple of goals there. Luongo played okay at the other end, but he didn't have to make nearly as many good saves as Halak did. And then he let in a couple questionable ones, certainly one questionable one, maybe two in the second period. But the team wasn't showing signs to, you know, that they were going to put up numbers offensively. I mean, you know, there were things that happened in that game that you point to, and I still point to the, you know, they've got a power play and a 2-0 deficit in the second period. They go on the power play, and then Pastrnak took a penalty to make it a 4-on-4 situation. You know, whether you agree with the penalty or not, he took a penalty. Now it's 4-on-4, and Florida scores. Not a great goal, but, you know, one that Halak would like to have back. They score. Now it's 3-0. It's a whole different – it changed the whole game. But when you've got Matheson walking end-to-end, and, you know, Bruce Cassidy said it was after a face-off, and they didn't adjust, and, you know, he went end-to-end. And it wasn't like he made moves on anybody. He just took the puck and went right up the right wing. You know, and that was just, you know, that was a sign that this isn't going to be good here today. Right? I mean, I think that made it 2-0. They still had an opportunity to get back in the game the next power play, and that's when the penalty occurred, and then the 4-on-4 goal.
617-779-0985. Let's go to Dan in New Hampshire. Dan, you're up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Good morning.
Good morning. You know, I got 50 years of watching this team, and happy belated 70th to the greatest who ever played this game, but... they have always had that guy, that enforcer, that, you know, they don't have that right now with McQuaid gone and Miller there. Krejci's getting killed out there. Pastrnak, Marchand, they're all getting killed. And these young players, the earlier caller mentioned Donato, they're all getting killed out there. They're getting hit, and this teams have no fear of hitting them because they don't have anybody who's going to answer. And that would be first things first. Get that enforcer, please.
Well, this is something that has come up before on the show this year, and it comes up a lot. You listen to Bruins fans during the course of this season. I mean, the old school enforcer, as we know it, is, you know, it that's pretty much gone and not coming back.
Yeah, enforcer is the wrong word for it now. I mean, you've got to have, I mean, if you're looking for guys like that around the league, and we had a discussion off the air a little while ago about guys, you know, like that. You're looking at a Tom Wilson, you know, you're looking at even a Ryan Reeves for that matter. You're looking at, he's not as good as Wilson as a player, you know, but he can certainly get there and throw big hits. And that's the type of player. So it's someone that's going to kind of deter the other team from maybe throwing some of those hits that we're seeing right now. You can go around the league. There's some other guys that you can mention that, you know, might fill that role, but you have to have somebody that can play. It can't be just somebody that's going to go out there for 3 minutes a game and because no one's going to drop the gloves with them.
Well,
it's not like that.
You mentioned earlier the hole that Kevin Miller not being in the lineup makes, and that's the kind of role. Yes. It's a guy, you know, he can drop the gloves if need be, can throw some big hits, can just play a heavier game, and a guy that you have to respect because he's got the strength and he's got the physicality to do that. What I think, you know, my concern from that level has been this year is we've seen on a number of occasions, and it's been when Miller's been out of the lineup, is they really don't have anybody else. If something happens on the ice, I don't want Brad Marchand and, you know, Patrice Bergeron when he was healthy.
I don't want those guys
in the middle of these things.
I commend them for it. But,
it's great that they are willing to do it, but I don't want Brad Marchand sitting in the penalty box if somebody else could be doing that instead.
Yeah, and I don't know if that particular player is going to drop the gloves with you know, a Kevin Miller if he comes calling, or I don't know if he's going to drop the gloves with, you know, an Adam McQuaid if he comes calling, or... you know, Sean Thornton back in the day. It has changed. And if it's a clean hit, it's a clean hit. But what you do is you've got to have the ability to hit some of their guys, and you've got to have those guys in the lineup. And they have a couple guys. We may like to see it a little bit more on a consistent basis from them. It's hard sometimes, but they can throw that hit on some of their skilled guys. You know what I'm saying? Like Tom Wilson's got the ability to run somebody through the glass. Not always legal, but he's got the ability to do that, or light somebody up in the middle of the ice. You know, that isn't quite there right now. That isn't there right now, you know, from the Bruins' perspective. And when you've got, you know, Hickey that stood up and hit, you know, David Krejci. Well, Hickey's not going to drop the gloves with, you know, an Adam McQuaid or a Kevin Miller if they come calling. But that's where you've got to be able to take out you know, one of their skilled guys coming through the middle of the ice or in the, on the end boards. That's
right.
That's the way it's played.
Well, and the league has gotten away from fighting, and we all understand the reason why, but it doesn't mean you take the physicality out of the game.
Right.
You can't, you know, it's not ice capades here. We're not just going end to end like Michael Matheson did the other night. It's, you know, guys are going to pay the price for going down the middle of the ice.
Well,
right?
The conversation around the team when this was started to happen a little bit more frequently, and it certainly popped up here recently when David Krejci got hit, is that the Bruins have not been initiating those hits. They've been on the receiving end, or they've been counterpunching as a result of those hits. And they do have guys in the lineup that have that capability, but it's seeing that on a more regular basis. But to this point, they have not been able to do it consistently.
617-779-0985. We continue with more of the Sports Hub Hockey Show coming up.
The Bruins, the NHL. This is the show that's all hockey.
He scores!
The Sports Hub Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston, Judd Zerai, and Bob Beers. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.5 The Sports Hub, Ryan Johnston, Judd Zerai, Bob Beers with you here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. 617-779-0985. By the way, might have flown a little under the radar this week for Bruins fans, but Jamel Smith claimed off of waivers this week. Bruins have a new addition from the Dallas Stars. What do we know about him? If anything.
Feisty bottom six forward. I haven't seen him a whole lot. He's been in the Western Conference playing with the Dallas Stars. Got a couple of points this year. I think when we were out there earlier this season, he was a healthy scratch for this team.
He's got some pace. He's got some, you know, he plays with a little bit of pace. He hasn't put up big numbers. He wasn't a high draft pick. I mean, he's somebody that he's a warm body NHL type guy. And I don't expect a ton, but who knows? Maybe he's, you know, he pops and he just needs to change the scenery. You know, Riley Nash was a guy that, you know, use as an example. He was a first round pick, but he came in here underheralded and,
sure,
you know, not many people knew anything about him. And, you know, he didn't have a great first year, but then he was okay his first year, and then he had a good second year, and that parlayed that into a nice contract. He's dipped a little bit, actually quite a bit, with Columbus this year. He hasn't had those same numbers. But, you know, he was a guy that was a valuable part of this team and, you know, you didn't know much about. So, you know, just because you never heard of him, it doesn't mean it doesn't, you know.
Some guys need a little change of scenery or something to kick him in the ass too, right?
And sometimes, you know, you get that big jolt right at the beginning and he has a couple of great games and all of a sudden, and then it kind of fades a little bit. So we'll see what happens and, you know, they're going to give him every opportunity or at least give him an opportunity. You would guess, and he plays center. So when they've needed somebody in that role, they definitely need some depth
there. So we shall see. All right, let's go to Paulie. You're up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
You just stole my thunder. You know, the last call had half the situation. There's two stable guys we lost. So a true Boston Bruins blown turtling through, and Adam McQuaid. But you know. The thought went through my mind. But the guy they missed the most this year is without a doubt Riley Nash. They made a mistake for not signing him because they have not been able to replace him. They get no depth in scoring. There's no balance. Those guys down on third and fourth lines just aren't getting it done. He had two solid years. I loved it when he was with Moore. He teamed up with Moore on that. It was a third line, I believe it was. I referred to them consistently as Batman and Robin, because they were constantly coming to the Bruins' rescue and saving the day. He won games with Moore, and then single-handedly last year when Moore left the team, pulling us out of the fire time and time again. I think he was a fireman in a previous life. that's the guy that we miss the most. There's nothing going on there at the bottom. If you can get a guy with a huge firepower, if you go out in the Kessel, I would love it. I never wanted to get rid of Kessel from the first.
Okay. All right, Paul, you're going in like 800 different directions here.
Dominic Moore was here 2 years ago, not last year. But I think last season was his best season all around, and he was on a line the majority of the time, not all the time, but he had to fill in for Bergeron once in a while, which he wasn't real good at the beginning of the season, but he was better equipped for it later in the season when Bergeron got hurt. But he had the most success playing with Heinen and David Backes, and that line got hot middle of the season and you know, came through with a number of big goals for the Bruins in some of those games when if the top line was shut down, or if, you know, a couple lines, that's when you had that balanced scoring attack. The Bruins had a balanced scoring attack last year. Now the question is, do you sign Riley Nash again, or do you think that, okay, you know, he's going to price himself out?
Well, that's what I was going to say.
He signed
is
a
that
big contract.
He got
Columbus.
A 3-year deal at 2.75 a year for a depth guy. You know, further down the lineup, that's where you can get into a little
year?
Bit of trouble.
One goal, 4 points, 27 games with Columbus this year.
And if he had those numbers playing for the Bruins, you'd be saying, why did we re-sign this guy? So it's just dependent on how the guy plays.
Well,
right?
Well, and that was the whole idea. So Jacob Forsback at Carlson was the one guy the Bruins did not touch last year in Providence. Played the entire season there. Yeah, there were some injury problems as well. But stay down there. Grow your game. And the Bruins were hoping,
like DeBrusk did.
Right. And they were hoping that he would be ready at the start of this season to take over and be that guy who armed that spot with Riley Nash, a guy who's a little faster, a little bit younger, with a little bit more offensive ability. To this point, it hasn't worked out that way.
Yeah, I mean, look, that was, we talked about that all the way back to training camp, is you came in, you had a number of young guys who were kind of auditioning and hoping that at least one of them was going to make their mark in the preseason and during training camp, that you could say, all right, this is the guy that we can go with. And here we are in December, and we're still kind of waiting for one of those guys to step forward and establish themselves.
We'll see if he's in the lineup here tonight. He came back. He played against the Tampa Bay Lightning the other day. He was certainly better in faceoffs. He won all six that he took in that game. He certainly brings more pace to the middle of the ice when you have him in the lineup. But the question is, what's the compete level like, shift in, shift out, throughout the entire game? Bruce Cassidy's got some more, you know, if you're going to bring in Jamel Smith and you've got another center, well, what does this do for your lineup? How are you going to try and shuffle the deck in your bottom six?
Let's go to Tyler. You're up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Good morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good.
I just wanted to talk about the whole enforcer thing. I feel like you guys kind of contradicted yourself, and I don't want to get into that argument. You know, it is what it is. But I feel like we need to just word it better. So I feel like the power forward role in today's game is you make hits, you don't fight, and you're a skilled player. That would more be, well, not Tom Wilson. But I feel like the enforcer's role is to just hit and fight and have a little skill. As to the power forward, he doesn't fight. And I also feel like we're not giving Connor Clifton a little credit there, because he's drilling people and playing that physical hockey that McQuaid, you know, played, and Boychuk and Seidenberg when they had to step up, you know, but they don't fight.
I like Clifton when he's here.
I like his game.
Right,
yeah.
Now. I liked him when he's here. I think that it kind of caught up to him at the end, not just him, but Lauzon as well, just, you know, where their decision-making had a little drag in it, and they had a good first few games, and certainly Clifton made a good impression against Dallas and dropping Spezza there. But as far as, yeah, I don't know if we're contradicting ourselves or not. I'm saying the power forward thing, you know, is that a guy that finishes hits? Yes, you know, but also can score and can play. Yes, I would love that guy.
Every team does.
You know, but, you know, where there are different players around the league, and I think ideally, and he got paid for it, and he deserved it. Well, I don't know if he deserved exactly what he got, but he deserved a lot of it based on what he did last year and in the playoffs. I mean, Tom Wilson is that guy. I mean, he's the unique guy right now, and I don't know if there's anybody else in the league like him. So that's you know, I think if you take out the suspensions, I mean, the guy that can hit And his point totals are, I mean, he's really started to put up points. He's playing with some of the top lines. He's Lucic from a number of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He's a first-round pick.
He was, yeah. He's Lucic from a number of years ago. It's taken him a couple of years to evolve into that role. But give me somebody that can play that role, or not necessarily Wilson, where, you know.
Take the predatory part of it out.
Exactly.
And but, you would take that player in a second.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Because he puts fear in the other team, and he can play. But if you go a step down from that, and you're looking for players that are just bigger bodies that can finish some of those hits, that can still play, there's some of those guys around the league, or you've got to draft and develop.
Let's go to John in Boston. You're up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Merry Christmas, guys, and to everyone in the Bruins family, a Merry Christmas to them and their families. Listen, guys, I agree with Bob Beers that the big issue here with the Bruins so far this season, and getting into the season pretty well now, is a paucity in the scoring. And I had a solution I thought might work. It's something the brain trust of Darnie Sweeney and Cam Neely and Bruce Cassidy might mull over here and see if it, listen, wasn't Ryan Donato in the past, wasn't he a center? Didn't he play some center at all? And I'm wondering if it's possible you want to keep your top two scorers together in Marchand and Pasternak and maybe try to play for a short period of time temporarily until, you know, we can straighten this whole thing out. Just to try Donato at center and just to see if it's an upbeat line it can click. It's just a matter of horses for courses. They need to shake it up, get the scoring going. Some of them tried it already, shaking up the lines, but they got to continue to tinker with it, to my way of thinking. And they should be able to win this game tonight. I'm a big Bruins fan. And appreciate your show. Thanks a lot, guys.
Appreciate it. I mean, there's no doubt they're going to continue to tinker with it and try and find something that works. Because
they've had a lot of different looks this year. Yeah, I don't know if Donato in the middle is an area that they're going to go to, but they've used a number of different people in the middle in different situations. The third line has had Corrali, it's had Nordstrom, it's had Forsbacka Carlson, it's had Backes, it's had probably Cave at one point. Yeah, Cave. So, I mean, you've had at least five or six guys play the middle on that line. That's just off. I care. I mean, that's enough, right? I mean, we're not even 30 games into the season.
Right.
You know, 28 games into the season, we've had five different third line centers. So they're still looking, and you know, in the middle for Bergeron, or excuse me, for Marchand and Pasternak, you know, who's your best solution up there? Do you put Krejci there? But you know, Bruce Cassidy said, well, that, you know, that kind of takes some of the effectiveness of Jake DeBrusk away. Then, so if you want to try to balance it out a little bit, you split them up, but then you go to them in game, which he's done. You know, Krejci played, you know, you're losing, you're down in a game, then you kind of put all your eggs in one basket for a few shifts, you know, tight, so to speak. Or you shake it up, maybe you move, you know, Pasternak around a little bit, put him with the breath, put somebody else in the middle and move Krejci up with Marchand. You know, there's just, you probably won't see that, but put Krejci with Pasternak, move Marchand somewhere else. You know, there's all different things that he's tried, and they're pushing as many buttons as they can. They're trying to coax offense out of this team. They just haven't had it, and that's where the power play can come in handy. That's where the power play can really can give you a weapon where maybe you get ahead in games, or maybe it puts you further ahead in games, keeps momentum going, that type of thing. It's been hit or miss a little bit here recently. So, you know, they've had some good power plays, they've had some good looks, and they've had some other ones that, you know, that have kind of let them down in certain situations.
Judd's headed off to morning skate. We are going to check in over there with Joe Haggerty from NBC Sports Boston coming up next.
Get in on the discussion. 617-779-0985. The Sports Hub Hockey Show. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final half hour of the Sports Hub Hockey Show here on a Saturday morning. Bruins and the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight over at TD Garden. Of course, you can hear it here on the Sports Hub. And morning skate getting underway on the other side of town over at Warrior Ice Arena. And joining us this morning is NBC Sports Boston's Joe Haggerty. What's going on, Hags?
Good morning, everybody. How's it going?
Well, it could be better. Hopefully it will be better tonight, but it's certainly a tough task waiting for this team. You know, we've been talking about it all morning, Hags, about, you know, just trying to, you know, find some offense out of this team right now. You know, they start to get a little healthier, then it seems like they get some setbacks, or they get, you know, some more guys banged up. How do they, you know, how do they fight through this, and how do they, especially against a team that's as good as Toronto, how do they find a way to get some W's here?
Well, I think for now it's getting the power play back on track. You know, 1-for-12 in the last three games has really not been good, and you can see it starting to happen in the Detroit game, and it's, you know, been like that for the last three games now, and it just underscores, especially when they're missing Bergeron and they're, you know, other guys aren't lighting it up like people thought they would, or at least being productive like people thought they were going to be before the season started. You rely so heavily on that power play that has been operating at high efficiency and was really playing a starring role at the beginning of all these injuries. You know, the formula was basically good defense, don't make mistakes, hold the other team down, maybe score a power play goal, get good goaltending, and you're winning, you know, one goal, low scoring games. And you know, once the power play dries up and you're not getting as much 5-on-5 and you're basically relying on, you know, David Pastrnak and not much else to provide your offense, you're going to struggle. So I think that's the first part of it, obviously. And, you know, after that, at some point, you've got to get more offense out of people like Danton Heinen. You know, two goals so far this season. He had, 16 last year. Was definitely a good offensive player. And it seems like, I don't know if his confidence is completely out the window, but you're just not seeing any sign of that player from last year this year. And I think for guys like that, you need more out of them right now. You just do.
We had a caller earlier today brought it up, and you wrote about it this week, about the 2015 draft. And you know, here you are, you know, 3 years removed from that. And Jake DeBrusque obviously has had a significant impact on this team this year and last year. But you've got two of those, you know, three first-round picks in Zboril and Sinishin, who, you know, you really haven't gotten anything out of yet. And, you know, a caller earlier today said, you know, is it time to look at that draft essentially as a bust, you know, with the opportunity that they had? Now, it's not a total bust because of DeBrusque, right? And as Bob said, later on in that draft, they also got some, you know, some pretty good talent as well. But that first-round opportunity, you know, do you look at Zboril and Sinishin and wonder if we're ever going to see anything out of those guys?
At this point, I think, of course, you do. You know, Sinishin, along with the Russian goalie that the Washington Capitals took in the first round, is the only player from that first round of that draft that has not played an NHL game yet. And, you know, Zboril's just had a cup of coffee and clearly, when he was up, it didn't seem like the Bruins coaching staff trusted him all that much. He was playing 10, 11 minutes in those games that he played in. So when you look at it, it's not just the players that the Bruins took. It's the players that get selected after them and just the general high quality of that draft. There's a lot of really good players that have come out of that draft. And, you know, the players that the Bruins took later on after the first round speaks to that. And that's why it's, as you said, not a total bust. But, you know, Brock Besser, Matt Barzal, we know the names, Shabbat in Ottawa. You know, there's a whole host of players, Kyle Connor in Winnipeg. There's a whole host of players that went after those three picks in a row that have become really productive players in the NHL. And the kind of players that, you know, with injuries hitting the Bruins right now and them needing reinforcements and them needing players to step up, if they had selected players that were more ready to jump in and play and were some of these other guys, I don't think you'd be having the issues that you have right now. And I think it is kind of showing some of the missteps that they took in that draft is now hurting this team 3+ years down the line when those players should be in the NHL and should be, you know, starting to produce and help your team. And, you know, you've got to hold out hope that the light is going to go on for both of them and eventually they're going to develop into the players the Bruins thought they were going to be. But, you know, when you look at the rest of the first round or a good portion of the first round of that draft, they are well behind the curve right now, and it's clearly not helping the Bruins.
Bruce Cassidy did a tremendous job, obviously, after taking over this team and, you know, all the way through last year, and team had a great season and, you know, and advanced in the playoffs and all of that. Obviously, he's been put in a really difficult spot this year. How do you feel like he's handled it?
No, I thought he's done a good job, I think. You know, he's done everything he could, juggling the lines, trying to find combinations that work, going with the combos that, you know, he thinks are going to serve him well, trying to, you know, put defensive elements online along with offensive elements and, you know, scratching young players and then putting them back in the lineup, trying to, you know, find ways to get the best out of them, put them in positions to succeed, you know, sort of spur them on, and plugging in players from Providence that have zero NHL experience and, you know, getting some decent success. And, you know, the early portion of this run without Bergeron and Chara, it looked really good. You know, as I said before, it seemed like they had a formula that was working for them. But, you know, as time goes on and you're playing with guys like Jeremy Lauzon, Connor Clifton, Colby Cave, Jacob Forsbacka Carlson, when these guys are in the lineup and they're playing, you know, significant roles at points, I think that's going to eventually catch up to you, as it should. It's just, you know, when you're missing some of your best players to injuries and you're depleted, eventually it's going to show if those players are out long enough. And, you know, we're starting to see that now with the three regulation losses in a row. But I can't hang a lot of that or really any of it on Bruce Cassidy. I think he's done another very good job this year and played the best hand he could with the cards that he's been dealt. I mean, you can quibble with certain things. I know some people, when Bergeron, Marchand, and Pastrnak were all healthy, wanted to see Pastrnak down with Krejci and more diversification in the scoring. I happen to like that top line being together when they were all healthy. You know, little things like that you can look at and say, is that the right choice? Is it not the right choice? But I think on a night-in, night-out basis, he's done an extremely good job given some of the production and some of the play that we've seen out of these players. I don't think that's coaching. I think some of these players just aren't doing what they did last year or doing what they were expected to do. And you know, some of that's on the coaching staff, but a lot of it's on the players.
Well, and that kind of led me into, you know, my next question, which was, you know, I'll say it, you know, going back to the summer, I was on board with the plan of sticking with those younger guys, not making, you know, a lot of big moves. You know, they maybe could have gone out on a limb and tried to get, you know, a third line center for a little bit higher price, or a second line winger to go along with Krejci. But
yep.
At the same time, you know, I didn't want Don Sweeney and Cam Neely to overextend themselves, because I felt like some of these young guys were going to be ready to step up.
Well, they tried to, though.
Yeah.
I know they
tried to make some moves, and, you know, and they just, it didn't work out. Now, some of those moves, in retrospect, I'm glad they didn't work out. I don't want Kovalchuk on this team and things
Tavares,
like that.
But
yeah, I mean, Tavares would have been nice. Not kidding you. I don't think there's too many teams around the league that wouldn't like to have him. But in retrospect, was that the wrong move on their part to, you know, to put this much faith in some of those young guys? Or do you expect that those guys, as this team gets healthier, are going to be able to contribute more?
I don't think it was the wrong move in the summertime, because, as Beersy alluded to, they did try to get the players they had targeted or they really wanted, didn't get them, didn't go out and get desperate and just get something for the sake of getting, you know, get a player for the sake of getting somebody experienced. Then they had to see what these young guys were going to do in these positions to see if they could play, see what they had, and see if they were going to be able to build on what they did last year. Now, if Don Sweeney can't go out and by the trade deadline address the situation where they clearly need a winger, preferably one with some size that can score goals, and I know that's hard and a little nasty in his game, you know, and there's a certain few number of players like that fit that description in the NHL, but like whatever player they get that's a winger that can score and provide a little bit more offense, if Don Sweeney's not able to get that, then I would say that's a failure and a mistake. And I think, obviously, there's a conscious idea right now with the Bruins that they need to bring somebody in at some point. Is now the right time to do that? I don't think so, because they're in a bit of a desperate situation with all the injuries, having lost three games in a row, and teams are going to try to take advantage of them. But I would expect, given what they've already seen from the young guys this season, they know they need at least one more winger that can score a little bit, and preferably a guy with size to add to that lineup. Well, and I would expect they're going to be able to do that before the deadline.
They thought they had that last year. When they made the trade,
yes,
for Rick Nash,
totally, with Rick
not,
Nash,
not that he's got nasty in his game, but he's a big power forward, right? And
yep.
And I have to believe that before they discussed the trade, or before they made the trade, that they probably had some discussions of him probably staying here longer.
Yep.
You know, as he was going to be an unrestricted free agent, but signing another contract. And now, did he perform to the expectation in the playoff? No. He didn't, but his ability and his game kind of speaks for itself and what he's able to do. And he is that player that you're kind of, or somewhat something like the player that you thought you were going to have. And now all of a sudden he, well, I guess he's retired. He hasn't announced his retirement yet, but he's not playing anywhere. So,
right.
And that was his choice. You know, they thought they had that guy.
And well, and maybe they will have a chance at another guy like that if Wayne Simmons becomes available, you know, if the Flyers don't really go anywhere at the deadline. I mean, that's the player that I look at and I envision on another team, and I say, that guy's a great fit here, at least for the short term. Do you want to pay a player like that at 30 years old, a big extension on top of that? I don't know. That's a roll of the dice. But I think right now the player that he is, that's the kind of player I'm looking at and saying, that's somebody you could put in the Bruins lineup that would demonstrably make them better in a lot of different areas. And, you know, we'll see if that player becomes available. But as you said, I mean, I was with everybody else. When they made the trade for Rick Nash last year, I said, on paper, this should work. This is
yes,
the right move.
Exactly.
Don Sweeney went for it, and he should have. And that was the right move to make. I just hope that there's another right move like that, like Simmons or somebody else, that Don Sweeney can go for again, because you have to, with this nucleus being where they are and you know, the expectations being that they're going to try to make a run in the playoffs.
He'd have to do it without giving up a first rounder. I don't expect that to happen again. They gave up a first rounder for Nash and kind of got burnt on it a little bit. I was excited when Rick Nash was coming here last season at that time. You know, I thought it was the good move. I thought he was the right fit for it. But, you know, okay, it doesn't work out. Now you're a little more reluctant to give up that first rounder. So I think if you're going to deal for a name player, you might have to get a bit creative for it, because I don't know if they're going to want to do that again.
And they have prospects. I mean, they've got assets to be creative with. That's the good thing, I guess, the position that they're in. I'm with you. I think a first-round pick after you trade one last year, you can't do it again. You can't keep trading them away year after year. But, you know, they've got enough good young players, I think, that
unless
they can get creative.
Unless it's somebody with term. Unless you're bringing in somebody, you know, that's got term and he's a younger guy and, you know, it's not that 30-something-year-old guy that's going to be an unrestricted free agent.
Yep, absolutely. But that's going to cost you a lot more, too. That's probably going to cost you more than a first. But, like, yeah, ideally that's what you'd be able to go out and get. But, you know, there's not so many of those type players out there that you're going to be able to pick and choose. You have to go for, you know, who you think is the right fit for you, just like Nash was last year.
All right, Joe Haggerty, NBC Sports Boston, of course, is the place to find him. Appreciate the time as always, Hags.
Thanks, boys. See ya.
All right, we've just got a minute to go. Bruins with a matchup against the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. Beersy, it's a good team coming in here tonight. I mean, and they've gotten better as well with the addition of Nylander.
Well, the Bruins have played them twice this year, right? And the game here, the Bruins won that one. They lost the other day, last week, I guess it was, up in Toronto. Neither time they have had Austin Matthews in their lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Neither game. Nylander's back in there now. He didn't play a ton. I guess he didn't play in the third period, and some people were surprised at that last game, but played pretty well the first couple periods. So, yeah, there is as good as you're going to see offensively. They just played Tampa. They played Tampa tough, and Tampa was the number one scoring team in the league. But now, you know, you're up against a different kind of animal with guys like, you know, with the ability that Toronto has up front. You know, the secret to them is trying to get to their back end. I mean, no question. If you can get to their back end and make them play in the defensive zone, they don't want to play in the defensive zone. They want to go score. You know, so if you can make them play defensively, you stand a chance. But they've had difficulty against Anderson in the regular season, but they got to him in the playoffs. So it's, you know, that's not unheard of either. But they're going to be challenged. We knew this week was going to be a challenge. You know, all divisional games. The loss to Detroit, I thought, really hurt them. You know, you knew you were going to be, the loss to Florida certainly hurt them. The way that they played in that game hurt them. You know, then you play a better game against Tampa. You come out on the short end. You knew you got Toronto sitting here. You got Ottawa tomorrow. Ottawa's a bit wounded right now as well. They've got, they just lost Matt Duchene, who's had an outstanding season for them. And Bobby Ryan got hurt there the other day. So they're not expected in the lineup. Put them on IR. So that's a positive going into tomorrow. They've got a game tonight as well. But, you know, if you can come out with something here today and then go into Ottawa, a team that you've handled so far this season, you know, now you that's part of keeping your head above water here moving forward.
All right, we'll be listening.
Treading water.
We'll be listening tonight, and have a safe flight up to Ottawa tonight.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, Judd and Bob on the call tonight. That'll do it for the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.